Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And it's 10 minutes past 5. I'm Radio Pulpit, and probably on your watch as well, if it is properly calibrated. A very good afternoon to you. On to the second hour of the show. Now, I did tell you, it's actually Friday. Yep, it's Friday, it's Youth Day, but also it's Valentine's Day. And, that's why I said this, what I'm about to play for you, I think it was motivated or encouraged by something that I saw on the socials, and fortunately, also it tied together with something I also saw on Mac G's podcast. So escaping hookup culture is what we're talking about. Let me give a bit of a background story. So I was just going through my Facebook, and I saw not so long ago actually, Pastor Bakadlamini or Dr. Bakadlamini had written about how he, firstly, he dated his wife for like 10 years because they were high school sweethearts. They got married 10 years later, had never kissed or been intimate. Absolutely beautiful. And a lot of people in the social spaces obviously will always say, not true and whatnot, but look, your truth truly is your truth that you don't need to try and prove. And I know for sure, because when I got married at the age of 32, I'd always had naysayers say, no way you could have, lived in purity for that long. That's a lie. Because I remember I used to wear a silver ring from an organization called Silver Ring Thing, and which basically encourages, purity or sexual abstinence until marriage. And I wore this silver ring with scripture on it, and people would always just go on about, Christians lie, Christian make up these things. But anyway, I never felt the need to actually try and explain myself and try and, be relevant for the time and age. And so when I read this post by Dr. Bakadlamini about how both him and his wife got married virgins, now think of this, after 10 years of actually dating, he goes on about how we both lost our virginity in marriage, and I thought about videos that have been bothering me a lot, especially leading up to Valentine's Day, and I'm not trying to say there's anything wrong in particular with the whole will you be my Valentine thing, because I think it was born in innocence. Initially, it was a very innocent act. And I say this because I've got nieces and nephews, and I'd listen to them at the age of 7 and 8. And even up until now, I always laugh about, especially my nephew, because he's 10 years old. And I always laugh about how I don't have a Valentine, doesn't really matter, because I'm happy. And so to him, it's just, hey, having a partner on the day, not necessarily because you're dating this partner or there's anything in between. And I watched these videos recently. Some were really beautiful because it was like a whole school entourage. It was like children from the school. And there was one particular one where there was like a whole entourage, and children had opened like a hallway for the boy to come and the girl to walk, or something like that. But I think the girl would walk up to the boy, and the boy had flowers or something. One in particular, the girl would pick up a flower going all the way up until she reaches the boy, and then he flips a card that says, will you be my Valentine? The first one was really cute, and she agreed. Whether or not they're in a relationship, I don't know. But anyway, that was really cute. And I was like, I'm a 2000. That's what they call, I don't know if it's post-millennial, because they say we millennials. And they're those that are born after 2000. We call them I'm a 2000. And I thought, these kids are so creative. This is beautiful. And then there was, all of a sudden, leading up to the day, I think yesterday, and I started picking this up on Wednesday, I think. Yes. Where this boy approaches the girl, and the girl walks up to him as if she is receptive, she's about to receive his flowers or whatever, to be his Valentine. And they walk up to each other, and the boy is smiling, obviously ready to give the girl the flowers, to ask her to be the Valentine. And she shakes her head. She basically says no. And it's all a your moment, And I saw this thing, and I thought to myself, for a moment it was cute. But then also I'm looking at it now and I'm like, oh, it's also introducing the young ones to some rejection. And I'm not too sure if it's cute anymore. I don't even think it's funny as it's meant to be. So yeah, sensitive granny like me was like, no, 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 no. And then again, I thought to myself, phew, there are so many untoward things that we're introducing our children to. And all in the guise of it looking cute, funny, cool, relevant. And I remembered while I was thinking about this that one day I came across one of Given's inserts that spoke about, escaping the hookup culture. And I thought, whew, this is also a very common thing with the young people. And so I thought, why not actually pay for young people? Because I think it's just so relevant, especially for today.
One of the most dangerous ideas that are invading young people these days is this idea of individualism. And more specifically, I'm referring to this idea that you believe that you can have your own moral standards. You believe that you can have your own code of ethics. You believe that you can have your own norms and especially values. And the rest of society just has to comply. As in, we have moved away from the appreciation of shared values, shared beliefs, and shared norms as a society, right? We want to fragment ourselves and segment ourselves, where you and your friends at that corner believe that this is the best way to move forward. You and your friends at that corner believe that this is the best way to move forward. And one of the most dangerous things to be birthed out of that way of thinking is this idea of hookup culture. Because hookup culture is when you as an individual believe that before you have decided to commit, if you ever do, you are entitled or you have, I'm going to say, the right and privilege to go around and sleep with whatever person you want, and you don't have to have any kind of relationship with them. This is something that has become very prevalent in our modern age. And, you know, there used to be a time where girls used to be believed and girls used to be encouraged to keep their virginity. And it used to be believed and understood that men are the ones who are after women, right? Who are after breaking women's virginity and disappearing. The idea of a man just wants to please himself sexually. But the more that we move closer to the times that we're in right now, gradually you start to see that a lot of women and young girls are starting to embrace the idea of hookup culture. And it's quite unfortunate. And I don't know if it was by God's wisdom that he did it this way. And I really am not trying to make any excuses for it. You'll understand what I mean in a second. But what I'm trying to say is this. I've realized that the idea of hookup culture actually impacts women more negatively than it does men, right? Because a lot of young women are the ones who are left with oopsies, where you find yourself falling pregnant with someone you had decided and agreed that you're only going to be having a hookup session with them, and then you're going to disappear from one another's lives. And that's the least of the problems that exist with hookup culture, right? Now, in this modern age that we live in, there are many apps, there are many programs, and there are many ways in which hookup culture is being facilitated. You could literally go into a country or go into a different city, go on an app and send a text and have a chat with someone, decide to meet with them at a restaurant, and then decide that you're going to get a hotel or go back to his or her place and hook up there, which literally means have sexual intercourse of some sort, right? Interact with one another sexually in one way or another. And then from that point on, you just depart from one another's lives and you never hook up again, right? And that's what hookup culture is. And people are doing this willingly. You know, there was a time when this was, if something like this ever happened, it used to be a mistake. And obviously, as the years have progressed, people have begun accepting it more and more. But there are many dangers attached to this idea of hookup culture that many of us want to ignore. You know, I'd like to think of this as, if you're in varsity, you might be living in a commune. or the fact that you're in school means that you are existing in a space that has a number of people that are occupying a space. So as a result, if you are a collective, if you are a number of people, a group, and you exist within a certain space, then you have to, in order for you to make it work, for you to live with one another, you have to come to the agreement that we will subscribe, or we will all live by these rules. We will all have a shared vision, or we will all have, you know, as the Bible says, you cannot walk with a person lest you are in agreement, right? That is very, very true. In agreement in terms of values, norms. Now, there are some things that we can agree that are, that we as individuals have to hold for ourselves. But for the most part, for a society to function, we have to have collective values. We have to have collective agreement. We have to get to a point where we can all say that these are our values as a culture, as a community, and as a society. Like, think about working in a company. Think about building a business with someone. Think about living in your house with your parents, right? There are certain things that if your father believed that washing dishes is not a good thing, or and your mother believed that letting the grass grow and not maintaining it is a good thing, there's nothing wrong with that. Or if they believe that leaving the roof open and not covering the leaks and not investing in the home or paying this bill or that bill, you can see how these conflicting thoughts and ideas can conflict with one another, and in the end it'll end up creating an environment that is not conducive for everybody. And that's what I believe we have lost, right? The importance of having good and valuable morals as a society, being part of a collective, and as a collective agreeing that we will move this way. Now, obviously for us it's easy as believers. How do we set a measuring stick in terms of how do we determine what's valuable? What are our values? How do we determine what are our norms? How do we determine, you know, what are our ethics? The Bible, you know, I think that's one of the biggest benefits to just being part of a Christian community. The fact that your value system is already set. Anyone who's not part of it already knows that they're violating it. And when you correct someone, you can correct them based on something written. The problem with just living in a world where everything is debatable, including such a thing as a hookup culture, it's debatable in a lot of instances. The problem with living in such a society is that there will be those who do it, because when you correct them, you're just correcting them because you think you know better. And you have no right to do that. So there always has to be an authority above you and I that we can sit down and say, we're in agreement that if we don't abide by these rules, if we abide by those rules, we are creating a conducive environment for each other. So that's what it should always be about. How can we create a conducive environment for each other? Now, you might be asking yourself the question at this point, how do I know, right? How does anybody know that hookup culture, it creates a bad environment for many people? Oh my goodness, I don't even know where to start, right? But I'll only list a few from the top of my head. One of them being that you have many people infecting each other with viruses, because when you don't know a person, you don't know how clean they are. You don't know whether they've been taking care of themselves, if the previous partner they were with used a condom or not. You don't know all of these things. You're literally meeting with a stranger once and then you depart. And you can never trust that person will even agree to the terms of your hookup session, right? You can never trust that. And here's another dangerous thing. The fact that the more and more you participate in hookup culture, meeting with strangers in order to have some kind of sexual exchange between the two of you, is the fact that you could be meeting with people who are very dangerous and you never know it. And it really only takes one encounter with a dangerous person. Like, you actually do not know whether you're meeting with a murderer, whether you're meeting with a person who has psychological problems, because you didn't want to take the time to exist with a person within a context. Because that's the beauty of the idea of courtship. Now, I we can debate how courtship should be done all day. I think that can be debated and should be allowed to be discussed. But the idea in itself works perfectly, right? Because you are existing in a space with this person. You're getting to know them before you have any encounters with them. And the beauty of it is that you get to know them within a certain context. I know you from church. I've seen how you behave at church. I've seen you being under pressure and how you respond to being under pressure. I remember there was a guy I met, I used to go to a fellowship with, and I could see, you know, I'm definitely not going to name and shame, but I could see from the way that he was interacting in that space that this is a problem guy who has a temper problem. And I've seen this with both men and women, like just existing within the same space as them. So then it gives you the opportunity to say to yourself, if I were to ever be in a long, lifelong committed relationship with this person, I'm going to have to decide whether I'm willing to deal with this, right? And the thing with what hookup culture tries to do, it tries to take dealing with those things out of the equation. Depart from one another and you leave with a wonderful story, as they say, right? And this is the thing that we need to be very careful of. The fact that in as much as, yes, hookup culture does come with no strings attached, it does come with taking away the stress of actually trying to live with someone, the complicated parts of being in a long-term relationship. But the detriment that comes with it is far more dangerous. Ever since hookup culture, particularly men are the ones that suffer emotionally, because we're the ones who have to propose. We're the ones who have to approach women. But because we're participating in this idea of hookup culture and using these instruments to do so, a lot of us don't actually get to form and learn how to initiate and lead meaningful relationships, romantic relationships. We get used to the idea of being used and using others. And that in the long run, right? I'm talking in the grand scheme of trying to create a productive society and a productive community, it doesn't work. It doesn't build a good world for you and I and a conducive environment, right? And then you're forgetting the fact that one day you're going to have children and your children are going to wonder, why were you hooking up? Does this mean give them the right to go and just hook up with whomever, right? And then you continue to perpetuate that, and then you have the many things that come with it. STIs, the problem of meeting with dangerous people because you don't get to meet them within a certain context. You don't get to know who they are, which it doesn't totally get rid of that danger, but it does alleviate that danger. At the very least, you can justify, and you also have references, right? Because you know their mother, you know their father, you know their friends, you know their pastor. You've seen them interact in a particular space. Hookup culture takes away from that. Hookup culture says, let's connect online, meet at a restaurant or a party or a braai, hook up, and then tomorrow we never speak to each other again. You don't need to bring your baggage, and I don't need to bring mine. And here's another very dangerous thing about this idea of hookup culture. It teaches us that people are only worth what we're willing to get from them, or what we want to get from them. After that, I can dispose of you and forget you've ever existed. And I won't lie. And I think and I think there's a danger to lying about the fact that hookup culture does come with the benefits that it tries to sell, right? It does come with a lack of stressing about how am I going to build a life with this person. Let me just get the gratification and stress relief that I want and leave. However, it also comes with a lot of long-term damages that you might not want to live with. And you need to really give careful thought as to whether you want to walk away with that. And not just you as an individual, but we all as young people need to start thinking about the long-term effects of an idea as wrong, and an idea as cheap, an idea as dangerous as hookup culture. Ultimately, I don't believe that the point I want to make is not that necessarily focused on hookup culture in itself, but it's a bit much bigger than that. I think we need to learn how to commit, you and I, because if we cannot commit to each other, how can we commit to God? The Bible does say, if you cannot love your brother, how can you love an invisible God, the brother that you actually see with your eyes, right? So that's something to think about. Another thing to think about is, it is very important for us to have relationships and relational interactions with people in a safe space and safe context, right? All of us want to feel safe, not just women, but men. It's important for you also, young boys, to feel safe, to be in a safe space, to know whether the person you're with is a con artist or not, right? Because hookup culture exposes us to con artists. And this is a fact, right? If you've seen the Twitter swindler, you can read about it. You can watch the documentary on Netflix. Hookup culture is the reason why people like that are able to take advantage of us, because they take advantage of the fact that we just want a quick wham, bam, satisfaction, goodbye, and I'll never see you again. But anyways, that's just my 2 cents worth. There's a lot we could have gotten into, but unfortunately, because of time, and also because I feel that this was a conversation that at least is sending you towards the right direction and making you think about whether this is something that's good for you as an individual, and also at the same time, good for the greater public, right? You don't want to favor a soccer team that does not share one vision. No one wants to favor that kind of team, you know, soccer, cricket team or whatever. Each and every one of us have to have the same vision for the team, right? And what is your vision for the team that is your community, your society, your family, your friends, all of those people? What is your vision?
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Did you know you can listen to your favorite programs whenever you want? Check out our podcasts. Listen to your best love presenters anytime, anyplace. No need to miss out on your favorite programming. It's just a click away. Go to our website at radiopulpit.co.za and click on our podcast page for a variety of content at your fingertips. Yes, Radio Pulpit is still your daily companion.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life Explained.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.